Hello and welcome to the Decorum Talking Newspaper for the week ending Saturday, May the 17th. This week, Team 4 are bringing you the news. This is Andrew, the team leader, and your other readers are Jane, Graham, and we welcome this week, Anjana. Your editor this week is John, standing in for Mary. This week's sponsor is Neptune Heating and Plumbing, who say, whatever heating or plumbing services that you may need, speak to us, the experts. Call us on 737-916. Many of our news items are taken from the Hemel Hempstead, Berkhamsted and Tring Gazette and Express newspaper. All telephone numbers are on the local code of 01442, unless stated otherwise. And the headlines this week are: Government backs huge data centre off Bedmond Road. Woman rushed to intensive care with sepsis infection after assault. And wartime memories resurfaced with VE Day's 80th anniversary. These and other stories follow. Here is the news.
Hello, my name is Jane. Data centre ding-dong. Plans for a £1 billion data centre the size of 12 football pitches in Abbots Langley have been approved by the government following an appeal. Three Rivers District Council's leader called the decision deeply disappointing and said it would mean mega warehouse-type buildings that would blight Greenbelt land. In a 98-page report published on Monday, Housing Secretary and Deputy Prime Minister Angela Rayner approved the application for the hyperscale project in a field alongside Bedmond Road and the M25. Planners Greystoke Land lodged their appeal last June, 5 months after Three Rivers Council unanimously refused permission, and before the project was called in to be decided by Rayner. Defending the appeal cost the council £107,000, according to minutes from a meeting of the authority. Council leader Stephen Giles Medhurst criticised Rayner's decision on the 84,000 square metre scheme. Despite the people of Abbots Langley and further afield not welcoming this application and us fighting tooth and nail to protect this green space, both the planning inspector and the Secretary of State believed that the data centre did not constitute inappropriate development in the green belt, Giles Medhurst said. It comes despite acknowledgement that it would result in landscape and visual harm to the area and to the heritage assets at the Tithe Barn and Mansion House farmhouse, he added. In my view, as leader of Three Rivers District Council, there is little gain for the village apart from an extra country park and some low-level employment. What this decision means is putting up with mega warehouse-type buildings across our greenbelt. Inspector Thomas Hatfield said the site meets the government's grey belt land definition and is therefore suitable for development, while concluding the data centre is a necessary addition. Greystoke Land had also argued the UK has an overwhelming need for large data centres to boost economic growth. When making his recommendation, Hatfield gave significant weight to the clear and pressing need for a new data centre. Giles Medhurst said work must now be done to ensure so-called benefits to the village are delivered, such as getting funds for local projects. The site will generate a lot of additional heat, which could be used locally, and we must ensure all the protection and tree planting is delivered to shield those eyesores on the landscape and manage how it's built, with the least disruption possible, the council leader added.
Hello, I'm Graham. Sepsis after assault. A woman is recovering from a life-altering injury which she suffered while being assaulted in Berkhamsted. She was one of three victims involved in an altercation on the town's high street last May. The victim told Hertfordshire Constabulary that she feels grateful to be alive after dealing with sepsis and a flesh-eating infection following the attack. Along with her friends, she was waiting for a lift home when they were approached by an older group of men. A drink was poured on one of the women, leading to an altercation during which three women were assaulted, St Albans Court heard. One, aged 19, lost consciousness. She was admitted to intensive care the following day after suffering severe bacterial arm infection, with doctors warning her parents that saving the limb might not be possible, Hertfordshire Constabulary said. Without medical intervention, she was told she could have died. The other women, both 80, also suffered injuries during the clash. James Egan, aged 30, of Granville Road in North Church, Berkhamsted, was arrested and later admitted to three assault charges. At St Albans Magistrates Court, he was sentenced to 1 year in prison, suspended for 2 years. He was also ordered to complete a 91-day alcohol abstinence period, a 6-month daily curfew between 7 p.m. to 6 a.m., a mental health treatment requirement for 6 months, a 25-day rehabilitative activity, and must pay £5,300 in compensation. Following the sentencing, the victim told police, "It's been a really hard and long process that no one should have to go through, but I'm grateful to be alive and have my arm. It was also hard seeing what it put the people around me through, especially my family and my partner. Now that he has been sentenced at court, I can hopefully start to move on." Detective Constable Karen Jordan from the Decorum Local Crime Unit said, "This was a particularly distressing and harrowing case. The victims have been so brave in what has been a life-changing incident. This was a totally unprovoked attack. I hope now that Egan has pleaded guilty and sentenced at court that the girls can start to put this terrible incident behind them, although I'm sure that that night will live with them for some time."
Hello, I'm Angela. Centenarians VE Day Memories. Two residents of St Laura's Care Home in Kings Langley shared memories of the Second World War to mark the 80th anniversary of VE Day. Barbara Brown and Joyce Goulburn, who both turned 102 this year, both served their country in the war. Joyce, who served in the Auxiliary Territorial Service, ATS, told Kings Langley Village News, "When the end of the war was declared, I came off duty and went to a friend to the railings outside Buckingham Palace, where we watched the King and Queen come out onto the balcony with the princesses, and Elizabeth was in her officer's uniform. After spending a couple of years trying to volunteer for the war effort, but being stopped by her father, Joyce was quick to step forward once the age limit was lowered to 20. In one post, she was charged with standing on a flat roof in London with the instruction to blow a whistle if she saw a doodle bug approaching head on. However, after two false alarms, because Joyce wasn't sure what the German V1 flying bomb looked like, she was relieved of that responsibility. Barbara, meanwhile, joined the Land Army and was stationed in Oxford, growing food at a large girls' school in London from which everyone had been evacuated. She said, "I chose to stay in school when war was declared, but was then called up, which meant I was owed a year's free education. So after VE Day, I went to Heatherley School of Fine Art in London." Both women remember rationing continuing for some time and don't recall much change between their lives immediately before and after VE Day. Joyce was sent to Devon to continue teaching secretarial skills until she was discharged, while Barbara enjoyed student life in London. Joyce went on to work for Kodak and lived in Hemel Hempstead with her husband Douglas and two sons, while Barbara and her husband Bernard moved to Kings Langley, where their three sons attended the Rudolf Steiner School.
Leonard's Dunkirk Drama. This VE Day story tells of one of the many sons of Tring who served their country willingly and bravely during World War II and happily survived. Leonard Charles Collins was born on the 3rd of March 1919 at 20 Henry Street. He was the youngest of Walter and Alice Collins's 8 children. Leonard was a pupil at Graverley and Tring High Street schools. By 1936, he was employed at John Dickinson Paper Mill in Apsley. At the time, young employees were encouraged to join the Territorial Army, from which they would receive a one-off payment of £5 plus 1 week off each year to attend training. It was because of this that when World War II broke out, Leonard enlisted to the 1st Battalion Middlesex Regiment at Inglis Mill Hill Barracks in London, NW7. At just 20, he became part of the British Expeditionary Force in France, experiencing intense action from the rapid German advance. Leonard soon found himself promoted to Lance Corporal and Machine Gunner of C Company, when on May the 15th, 1940, C Company engaged with the enemy and destroyed two heavy German machine gun units, enabling the infantry to regroup. However, the expeditionary force were overwhelmed by the German advance and were forced to retreat to the Dunkirk beaches and await embarkation to England. Leonard made it back to England on the 13th of June 1940, arriving barefooted at Tring Station, having had to wade out to the rescue boat that brought him back across the Channel. He immediately returned to his regiment in Kent, where they remained until 1942 on full alert, preparing for the expected German invasion. Whilst off duty, the soldiers would frequent the local dance at the Welcome Stranger pub in Lym. It was there that Leonard met leading aircraft woman, Women's Auxiliary Air Force, Renee Hornby Burgess, who was on leave from Tangmere Aerodrome while visiting her parents. René's father had served in France during the First World War. He liked the name René because it translates as born again.
And concluding Leonard's story, he and René married on June 27, 1942 at St. Peter and St. Paul's Church in Tring. This was thought to have been the first full military wedding at the parish church since the outbreak of war. Afterwards, Leonard returned to duty, where he was on continuous active service throughout the rest of the war, travelling through North Africa, Sicily, Egypt, Italy, and finally Austria. On returning to Tring, after being discharged in 1946, he and René moved into 26 Henry Street. Many of the properties on Henry Street were owned by the Co-op Society, having two ground floor rooms and two first floor bedrooms. They also featured an outside shared WC and wash house serving two or more families, with a metal bath hanging on the outside wall. The kitchen had a coal wood burning stove and a single cold water tap. He returned to work at his pre-war employer, John Dickinson, who held his position open for him, as they did for all their serving employees. In January 1959, Leonard was offered a job in the transport office of Tunnel Cement in Pittstone, where he remained until he died, quite suddenly from a heart attack, in December 1968. This was only 1 week after attending the annual Middlesex Regiment reunion in Kensington, London. He was just 49 years old. Leonard's funeral took place with full military honours at Tring's St. Peter and St. Paul's Church. His son, Richard Collins, has kindly provided us with his story, and Leonard's medals will soon be exhibited at Tring Museum.
This week in history. May 17, 1990, the General Assembly of the World Health Organization, WHO, eliminated homosexuality from the list of psychiatric diseases. May 18, 1804, Napoleon Bonaparte was proclaimed Emperor of France. On this day last year, Anthony McPartlin thanked fans for their kind messages of love and well wishes after he welcomed his first child with his wife, Anne Marie Corbett. May 19, 1984, Sir John Betjeman, Poet Laureate from 1972, died aged 77. On this day last year, Giovanni Panisse rejected allegations that he displayed abusive or threatening behaviour while working as a professional dancer on Strictly Come Dancing. The statement from the 33-year-old Italian came amid reports that the BBC was looking into complaints about his conduct on the show. May 20, 1991. In the USSR, the government passed a new law allowing Soviet citizens to leave the country of their own free will. May 21st, 1966, Cassius Clay, Muhammad Ali, ended Henry Cooper's hopes of winning the world heavyweight crown for Britain in round 6 in London. On this day last year, Tributes were paid to a 73-year-old British man who died after severe turbulence on a Singapore Airlines flight from Heathrow Airport.
Online safety plea. MP for Harpenden and Berkhamsted, Victoria Collins, called for the key changes to protect children's safety online in the House of Commons, alongside fellow Lib Dem MPs, but the government failed to back the bill and it did not pass. Their proposed clause to the data bill that would have raised the digital age of data consent, which is the age at which big tech companies can collect children's data from 13 to 16. The personal data that is collected by social media platforms, in part, is used to feed their algorithms code that recommends users content matching their interests, which derives their addictiveness of these platforms. During a safer screens tour of local schools in Harpenden and Berkhamsted, students talked to Collins about brain rot, spending too much time online and being pushed extreme content, despite how much they tried to block it. The change, which was first proposed in the Safer Phones Private Members Bill and was subsequently dropped, was a part of plans to bolster support for young people's relationships with screens in an increasingly online world. Stopping social media giants from being able to collect the data of under-16s without parental consent would mean platforms would need to change how their services work for young people. A less algorithmically driven form of social media without targeted advertising would be less addictive for teens. Victoria said, "I am so disappointed by this government's reluctance to back this common sense protection for our children. It was not about restricting young people's access to digital services, but ensuring tech giants cannot profit off their data while simultaneously pushing unsuitable content through aggressive algorithms. Young people themselves are telling me about the graphic harmful content they are seeing, some even speaking of brain rot, and recognize the pull from addictive algorithms that are designed to keep their attention. This government's resistance to this amendment seems to prioritize tech industry convenience over children's well-being."
Trust overspend. The NHS Trust that runs hospitals in West Hertfordshire made savings of £24.2 million in 2024-25, but still ended the year with an overspend of £5.54 million. The West Hertfordshire Teaching Hospitals Trust, which operates Watford General, St Albans City and Hemel Hempstead Hospitals, has an annual expenditure budget of approximately £580 million. But a report presented to the Trust Board this month reveals that over the 12-month period, the Trust overspent by £5.54 million, which is £4 million more than had been initially forecast. Pressures highlighted in the report, including a £9.1 million overspend on staff pay, including a £4.7 million in medical and £1.5 million in nursing staffing. And there was a £13.5 million non-pay overspend that the report puts down primarily to clinical supplies and drugs, £6.4 million, reflecting higher than planned activity levels and to savings shortfalls, £5.4 million. According to the report, the Trust delivered savings of £24.2 million, but that was lower than the £26.6 million savings target. The report also references £22.9 million of income received from the NHS that had been higher than expected. At the end of March, it reported that the Trust had a cash balance of £14.8 million. Commenting on the financial position following the meeting of the Trust Board, a spokesperson for the West Hertfordshire Teaching Hospitals NHS Trust said, "The Trust delivered a deficit of £5.5 million for the financial year 24-25, which was in line with agreed forecast. This represented an improved financial position from 23-24, where the Trust had a reported deficit of £13.8 million. The improvement was supported by the delivery of £24.2 million worth of savings, and the Trust remains committed to improving its underlying deficit position over the short to medium term.
Fatal crash arrest. A man in his 30s has been arrested on suspicion of causing death by dangerous and drug driving after a man in his 40s was killed in a Hemel Hempstead collision. Police are appealing for witnesses, information and dash cam footage following the fatal road traffic collision in Hemel Hempstead at around 5 p.m. on May 5th. There were reports of a collision between a blue BMW M240 and a pedestrian on Redbourne Road near the Hartwell Ford dealership. The pedestrian, a man aged in his 40s, died at the scene. The man arrested is in police custody. Detective Sergeant Craig Wheeler from the Bedfordshire, Cambridgeshire and Hertfordshire Serious Collision Investigation Unit said, "I'd like to hear from anyone who may have been in the area and witnessed the collision or saw the blue BMW or the pedestrian in the moments prior to the incident. If you were driving in the area and have a dash cam fitted, please review your footage as you may have captured something that could assist with our investigation. Anyone with information can email craig.wheeler@cams, that's Charlie Alpha Mike Bravo Sierra, .police.uk/. You can also report information online or call the non-emergency number 101, quoting ISR 527 of 5th May. Dash cam footage can be uploaded at hearts.police.uk/dash cam upload.
Sex on duty. A former Hertfordshire police officer had sex while on duty with a woman he met on a swingers website, according to the conclusions of a misconduct panel that barred him from policing. PC Stuart Greeny met the woman, known as Miss A, on a website called Fab Swingers and visited her home in June 2023 when he was on duty in full police uniform. With his shift due to finish at 3 p.m, he arrived at the woman's house shortly before 2:30 p.m. and had sex with her before leaving 20 minutes later, the panel found. While Greeny admitted to knowing Miss A and having gone to her home, he denied that he intended to engage in a sexual encounter and denied having sex with her. But the misconduct panel concluded that Miss A's description of events included details she would otherwise have been unaware of if sex had not taken place, and that on the balance of probabilities, the pair had consensual sex on the date in question. Greeny, who joined Hertfordshire Police in 2022, would have been dismissed without notice had he not already resigned from the force in June 2024. The panel's report concluded Greeny's actions amounted to gross misconduct and said his behaviour was intentional and deliberate. It involved sexual impropriety whilst on duty for his own sexual gratification. This was stark and highly culpable behaviour and is highly damaging to public confidence in the police. Greeny admitted that Fab Swingers was not really to meet people to have a relationship with, but with the intent to participate in consensual sex. The panel's report said, later, when Greeny stopped seeing Miss A, he seemingly sought out other women on the dating site. At this, Miss A informed the panel she felt used and angry. Greeny had said he was ashamed and apologetic, but the panel said there was limited, if any, insight or expressions of concern as to how his actions would impact on public confidence in the police.
Tories lose council control. Conservatives have lost control of Hertfordshire County Council for the first time in 26 years. In May 1st election, Liberal Democratic gains and a surge in support for reform mean the council will now be in a no overall control, with 31 seats taken by Liberal Democrats, 22 by the Conservatives, 14 by Reform, 5 by Labour, 5 by the Green Party, and one independent. Now it will be up to the Liberal Democrats, the largest single party, to seek to form an administration. Welcoming the countywide election results, leader of the Liberal Democratic Group, Councillor Steve Jarvis, said he was pleased to have gained seats. He suggested the results pointed to residents' dissatisfaction with areas of the council's work highlighting road maintenance, services for children with special needs, the environment, and flooding. He said the Lib Dems had drawn up a 10-point plan that they will aim to deliver in the first 100 days. However, without an overall majority, he says they will now have to explore who else can provide support for their plans. Before the election, the Conservatives had held 42 of the Council's 78 seats, the Liberal Democrats 22 and Labour 6. In addition, there were 5 independent councillors, 1 member of the Green Party, and 1 councillor who had recently defected to Reform UK. 1 seat on the County Council was vacant. Following the election, the number of Conservative seats has fallen to 22. Conservative councillor Richard Roberts, who officially remains as leader until the next meeting of the County Council, says he is disappointed to have lost seats. He put the results down the Labour government's failure to give the country the hope and optimism that it was looking for after the general election. Into that vacuum, says Roberts, Reform leader Nigel Farage has been able to drop his messages. Reform representative Hamish Haddo described the party's success in winning 14 county council seats as phenomenal. Mr. Haddo, who is chair of Reform's Broxbourne branch, says Reform will bring greater scrutiny to the council chamber. Leader of the Labour group, Nigel Bell, said he was disappointed to have reduced their number of county councillors from 6 to 5 in a year where they had hoped to make gains.
Health Campus Boost. Work to explore the development of a Hemel Hempstead Health Campus has taken a step forward with the programme director coming on board. Sheena Phillips has joined West Hertfordshire Teaching Hospitals NHS Trust in a shared appointment with the Hertfordshire and West Essex Integrated Care Board and Decorum Borough Council. The three organisations have joined forces to explore opportunities for bringing hospital, GP and community health services into a new purpose-built and accessible health facility that would allow them to provide more joined-up care for the local community. The proposal would involve relocating services currently provided at Hemel Hempstead Hospital to a new town centre health campus as part of a regeneration plan for the Market Square area. Phillips will coordinate work to look at the opportunities provided by the health campus proposal and to weigh this up against other options, including developing on the existing Hemel Hempstead Hospital site. She said, "In my first few weeks, I have met and engaged with residents, healthcare partners and community organisations who are committed to delivering joined-up services for local people. I look forward to meeting more stakeholders through our wider public engagement work, which will start in June." Matthew Coates, Chief Executive of West Hertfordshire Teaching Hospitals NHS Trust, said, "We're delighted to have appointed Ms. Phillips to the Hemel Hempstead Health Campus team. This is a strong show of commitment by the teams involved in this ambitious plan to improve the health and well-being of our local communities." Phillips brings over 20 years' experience in healthcare across primary, community, mental health, secondary care and commissioning. She joins the Hemel Hempstead Health Campus team from the Whips Cross Hospital Redevelopment team, where she led the clinical transformation strategy for a new hospital and local community-based hospital services. Technical advisors have been appointed to prepare the strategic outline case to evaluate options for the location of the health campus and the services it'll provide, with further engagement with stakeholders, patients, and clinicians planned.
Fatal fall from roof. A man has died in Hemel Hempstead after reportedly falling from a roof, police said. An air ambulance, police and fire crews were among a large emergency services response called to Bennett's End Road on Monday afternoon. The road was closed as they worked to try to save his life. A Hearts Police spokesperson told the Watford Observer, despite the best efforts of the emergency services, the man from Hemel, in his 50s, was sadly pronounced dead at the scene. Inquiries to establish how he fell are underway, and the Health and Safety Executive have been informed.
Crash witnesses sought. Hertfordshire Police this week renewed a search for witnesses to a crash near Junction 5 of the M1 on the afternoon of May the 2nd that led to five people being injured and one person being arrested. A white Ford Fiesta, a skip loader, a blue Mini Cooper, a black Ford Focus and a black Volvo XC90 were involved in the smash, which forced the closure of the motorway in both directions. Two people suffered serious injuries and remain in hospital. Three suffered minor injuries. The woman who was driving the Fiesta was arrested on suspicion of serious injury by dangerous driving. She has since been bailed while inquiries continue, police said. Detective Constable Dale Morris said, "We are appealing for further witnesses to this incident that involved multiple vehicles. The road was busy at the time. If you have dash cam footage that you believe could be helpful to our investigation, please upload it at this address, hearts.police.uk/dashcam upload.
Not licensed to drive. A Hertfordshire police officer misled his supervisors when he told them he had a full driving license. A misconduct panel concluded. PC Alexander Simpson, who has since left Hertfordshire Police, reportedly told his supervisors that he had passed his driving test in 2017 and held a valid license allowing him to drive automatic vehicles. However, when police checked with the relevant authorities, they found that Simpson only held a provisional driving license, which allowed him to learn to drive under supervision. The discrepancy was revealed in early 2024 when PC Simpson was asked to complete a check drive with the police driving school. A police misconduct panel by Andy Prophet, Chief Constable at Hearts Police, said, "I find that on the balance of probabilities, former PC Simpson did not hold a valid full driving license, did mislead his supervisory officers, and therefore failed to uphold the highest standards of professional behaviour expected of a police officer. The consequence of such behaviour only serves to undermine public trust and confidence and therefore cannot be justified. The panel found that Simpson's actions amounted to gross misconduct and would have led to his dismissal had he still been employed by Hearts Police. He has been added to the policing barred list."
Soccer stars' cancer courage. A former international women's footballer from Hemel Hempstead, who is undergoing chemotherapy for terminal brain cancer, has completed the Belfast Marathon to raise awareness of the devastating disease. Amy Carr, who earned 16 caps as England's youth goalkeeper from 2008 to 2009, crossed the finish line in 5 hours and 8 minutes on Sunday the 5th of May, just months after being told her second brain tumour is inoperable and life-limiting after she began crying for no reason. Amy is fundraising for the charity Brain Tumour Research. She said, "I've never been known as someone who showed much emotion, so when I bawled my eyes out during bowls at work and watching a TV show, I'm a Celeb, I knew something wasn't right." In November, Amy shared her story of being diagnosed with a brain tumour in 2015 after fainting at the sight of a spider. In December 2024, she received the news that a second inoperable and life-limiting tumour had developed in a different part of her brain. She said, "Gutted doesn't capture my emotions when I was told my second brain tumour is terminal. It's been a roller coaster of feelings, especially as my diagnosis has been stable for so long. An operation is too risky, and I know now that I've had all the radiotherapy that I'm allowed." Despite muscle weakness and other complications which caused several falls during her marathon training, the 34-year-old remained committed to her goal. She said, "I had the marathon booked before I knew about the second tumour and needing more radiotherapy and chemo. I'm very proud of my achievement. Other than losing hair on both sides of my head from radiotherapy, I've felt okay whilst receiving treatment." Last year, Amy ran the Dublin Marathon in 4 hours and 28 minutes and has raised more than £7,000 for the charity. She said, "To know that brain tumours kill more children and adults under the age of 40 than any other cancer, yet just 1% of the national spend on cancer research has been allocated to this devastating disease is unacceptable. Brain Tumour Research has been a charity which has played a huge part in my diagnosis over the last decade. This has been my way of making a difference for future generations diagnosed with a brain tumour." There are more than 100 different types of brain tumour, making them notoriously difficult to find and to find effective treatments for. Charlie Ulcerbrook, Community Development Manager at Brain Tumour Research, said, "Amy's courage and determination are incredibly moving. Her story highlights just how urgently we need better outcomes for brain tumour patients." The charity is the driving force behind the call for a national annual spend of £35 million in order to improve survival rates and patient outcomes in line with other cancers such as breast cancer and leukaemia. To donate to brain tumour research via Amy's Belfast Marathon fundraiser, visit justgiving.com/page/Amy-Carr, that's CARR-3.
And now, what's on? Films at Cineworld Hemel Hempstead from Monday, May 19th to Sunday, May 25th include Hurry Up Tomorrow, a drama, certified 15. Hallow Road, drama, also certified 15. The Wedding Banquet, a comedy, 15. Lilo and Stitch, 2025, a comedy, certified U. The Phoenician Scheme, a comedy, certification to be confirmed. The Salt Path, drama, 12A. The Accountant, 2, an action, 15. Mission Impossible, The Final Reckoning, action, 12A. Final Destination, Bloodlines, a drama horror, certified 15. Thunderbolts, action, certified 12A. Sinners, drama horror, 15. And a Minecraft movie, action, PG. All popular films are provided to cinemas with an audio description track. Please mention your requirements at the time of booking.
The Old Town Hall, Hemel Hempstead. Tuesday, May 20th, 2 p.m. and 7 p.m. Film, A Complete Unknown, Certificate 15. In the early 1960s, 19-year-old Bob Dylan arrives in New York with his guitar and revolutionary talent destined to change the course of American music. Tickets, £5. Wednesday, 21st of May, 8 p.m. Theatre, a small enclosed room with Alfie Murphy. In Alfie's fantasy world, it's hard to tell who he is. Rock star, guru, actor, shark. Which version of him is showing up today? Renowned autistic artists Jan Binchy, The Level, ITV, and Anna Constable, Imposter 22, Royal Court, bend the lines of fantasy, reality, and masking as they try to figure out how to be in a darkly comic universe. Tickets, £12.
Watford Palace Theatre, May 19th to 24th, 7:30 p.m. Pride and Prejudice, sort of. Direct from its triumph in the West End, where it won the Laurence Olivier Award for Best Comedy and the Evening Standard Award, Pride and Prejudice, sort of, is a unique and audacious retelling of Jane Austen's most iconic love story. Tickets, £10 to £40.
Carnival Talent. Fans of Britain's Got Talent will recognise one of the performers at this year's King's Langley Carnival when Electric Umbrella take to the stage to entertain the crowds. The group, who received the coveted golden buzzer from Simon Cowell, propelling them straight to the live semi-finals, will be back by popular demand for the event on the 21st of June. They'll be joined by talented local people, including primary, secondary school and community choirs, dancing troupes, plus music from the Cheftones. On-stage entertainment kicks off at 12:30 p.m. For more information, check out Facebook or kingslangleycarnival.com.
And now, some sports news. Mixed cricket results. Hemel Hempstead Town cricket teams had a mixed bag of results as the season got underway last weekend. The Firsts won the toss as they took on Shenley Village in the Championship and batted, getting off to a good start thanks to Brett Penny, 19, and skipper Hemish Ilingarante, 15. But both got out to lose shots, and the only other double-figure score was from Angus Bell, batting at number 4, who made 46 not out, as Hemel were all out for 117. Shenley reached 118 for 5 from 19 overs, with only Partha Mehta, 2 for 14, causing problems. Hemel seconds were also beaten as they visited Datchworth in Division 3A. Hemel were bowled out for 129, with only Brad Finch, 42, and Ed Grayson, 29, making double figures. Datchworth made 130 for 6, with Lucas Burton, 2 for 26, the best bowling return. The thirds were victorious at St. Margaret Bury in Division 6A. Batting first, Hemel made 230 for 5. Vice skipper Nick Hodgins held it all together with 67 not out, along with skipper Graham Clark, 43, who put on 93 for the third wicket. St. Mag's were then kept to 160 for 9 from their 50 overs, spells of 2 for 15 and 2 for 22 from youngsters Callum Humphrey and Dil Khan led the bowling, and a couple of slick runouts kept St. Mag's under control. Hemel fourths also won as they hosted Luton Town and Indians thirds in Division 8W. Tayab Sadiq led the Hemel batting with 91 opening, and then Mike Samuels, 84 not out, and skipper Neil Morgan, 50 not out, put on 92 not out for the fifth wicket to see Hemel up to 276 for 4 from their 40 overs. Tight bowling from Hemel kept Luton to 227 for 9, with Farhan Sadiq 2 for 30, Henry Morgan 2 for 36, and Carter Botha 2 for 44, leading the bowling. Hemel fifths were beaten at West Hart, 6th in Division 12W, the hosts making 215 for 6, with Sham Akhtar 2 for 12, leading the Hemel bowling, followed by 2 for 47 from Jonah Lewis. Hemel then lost their first 7 wickets for 36, and although 65 from youngster Seb Freethy, 25 from Matt Skears and 28 from Vinnie Lidder led the Hemel fight back, they were all out for 165.
Tudor's ring changes. It was a case of one in and one out at Hemel Hempstead Town this week. The Tudors have signed right back Devante Stanley from Havant and Waterlooville, with the defender having previously played under current Hemel boss Lee Allinson whilst at St Albans City. He has also featured for Bedford Town, St Neots, Royston Town and Biggleswade Town. Allinson said, "I'm absolutely delighted to get the first signing over the line. Devante is a great player and someone I've worked with before and allows us to play different formations, as he is defensively and attacking wise a very good player." Winger Brandon Barzi, however, is leaving Hemel Hempstead. Signing on a permanent deal with the Tudors ahead of last season, Barzi scored 11 goals in a red shirt before injury cut his season short. A reminder for those interested in sports news, on Saturday afternoon, Free Counties Radio broadcast on FM 103.8. Heart Radio are on FM 97.6, and Talk Sport are on medium wave 1089.
Swim Teachers Award. A Harpenden swim teacher who turned a hobby into a second career after nearly 40 years in the car industry is being recognised during International Learn to Swim Week 2025. Graham Marshall, 76, teaches swimming 4 days a week at Harpenden Leisure Centre, which is managed by Everyone Active in partnership with St Albans City and District Council. He is among instructors being celebrated as part of Everyone Active's national Learn to Swim programme. Marshall's passion for swimming began in 1994 when his children joined Luton Swimming Club and he began volunteering. I was asked to be an extra pair of eyes on poolside when one of the teachers couldn't make it, he said. After that, I became the go-to cover and eventually started helping out more regularly. Encouraged by the club, he trained as a swimming teacher and went on to coach junior squads alongside a full-time role at Vauxhall. But teaching wasn't a continuous career. It took a backseat until 2002, when he was made redundant and decided to embrace swimming more seriously as a new focus. His passion for the water is a family affair. His daughter is also a qualified swim teacher and lifeguard, having followed in his footsteps. He joined the team at Harpenden Leisure Centre in 2020 after spotting an opportunity while visiting for a swim. Today, he delivers swimming lessons to hundreds of children. He's passionate about helping the next generation enjoy and respect the water and has no plans to slow down anytime soon. Teaching has given me a great way to stay active and involved, he said. I really enjoy helping the young swimmers to develop their skills and believe in themselves to achieve the highest levels they can. Steve Cox, Everyone Active's area contract manager, said, Graham's story shows it's never too late to explore a new path. His experience and positivity make a real difference to the children he teaches, and he's a brilliant role model during Learn to Swim Week and beyond. Harpenden Leisure Centre and Westminster Lodge Leisure offer swimming lessons for all ages and abilities. International Learn to Swim Week runs until Monday. It's an annual campaign led by Swimming Teachers Association. In its 10th year, it hopes to raise awareness of the vital life skill and promote safer, more confident swimmers ahead of the summer season.
Tring actor bound for Fringe. Tring actor Matt Wake is taking a show to this year's Edinburgh Fringe. Along with seven other actors from the Hideout Theatre Group, Wake, who was born in Stoke Mandeville and raised in Tring, will be staging The Players of Diadon, an original comedy, at the Gilded Balloon during the world-famous Fringe Festival this August. The Players of Diadon follows Rick, the newest member to the Royal Acting Troupe, forever destined to perform King Diadon's own epic story back to him. For 18,337 performances, nothing has changed. But now, the king wants a brand new masterpiece, and if he doesn't get it, they'll face the chop. Audiences can expect silliness, peril, and a world of eccentric characters that feels both bizarre and strangely familiar. It'll make you laugh, it'll make you cry, says London Pub Theatres. Staging a show at the Fringe, especially for an ensemble cast, is financially challenging, so the cast has set up a crowdfunding page to cover the basic costs of travel, accommodation, and promotional flyers. All the info is at crowdfundedfringe.com/p/the-players-of-diadon. That's D-I-A-D-O-N for November.
Ivanhoe Film Shoot, a film company linked to Steven Spielberg, has announced plans to shoot in Ivanhoe. SDTA Productions has applied to Buckinghamshire Council for permission to use land at Vicarage Farm, Horton Road, for filmmaking from July 4th. The company says filming will take place next to the site between September 19th and November 2nd, with sets and equipment to be removed by the end of November. SDTA had also applied to neighbouring Decorum Borough Council in 2021 for permission to shoot a project called Whirlwind. The show was understood to be Apple TV Plus series Masters of the Air, which was produced by Tom Hanks and Steven Spielberg. SDTA's new application, which did not name the project, stated the temporary use of land involves the formation of a unit base and facilities parking in association with a film set build, which is proposed to take place on a location to the north of this application site. The build will take place elsewhere in the farm and no new permanent buildings will be constructed.
Policing priorities. Police in Decorum have outlined fresh priorities for neighbourhood policing teams, MPTs, in Kings Langley, Bovingdon and Apsley. MPTs who focus on solving neighbourhood issues like antisocial behaviour and theft have announced their new priorities for the coming months. In Bovingdon, the priority will be reducing antisocial behaviour around the library and dealing with parking issues on the High Street. In Kings Langley, the aim is to reduce antisocial behaviour and speeding on the High Street. In Apsley, the focus will be on reducing antisocial behaviour in and around the marina. These priorities are set every 4 months using data analysis and public feedback. People in these areas will see their team of police officers and community support officers working to tackle these issues with more police presence, events and targeted enforcement, police said. The teams will also continue to handle daily tasks and any urgent issues. The area is also looked after by intervention officers who respond to emergency calls, the local crime unit, which investigates serious crimes like burglary, robbery and assault, and specialist units that tackle acquisitive crime. Residents can keep up to date with work around the priorities by following Hearts Police on social media and via the Your Area section of the Force's website.
Missing man. Police are increasingly concerned for the welfare of a man who has been missing for 9 days and they think he is in Hemel Hempstead. The man, whom they named as Sean, is believed to have travelled to Hemel after going missing in Watford. Sean, 58, was last seen in Watford at around 12:30 p.m. on May 3rd, wearing a flat cap, a navy blue windbreaker jacket, jeans and brown boots. Anyone who has seen him since he went missing or has information about where he has been can report this by calling 999, quoting ISR 347, speaking to an operator at the Force Communications Room via online web chat at https://www.hearts.police.uk/contact or calling 101. Or callers can stay 100% anonymous by contacting independent charity Crime Stoppers on 0800 555 111 or via their untraceable online form at crimestoppers-uk.org.
Concerns over parking curbs. Weeks after parking restrictions were introduced on Kings Langley High Street and in the village's two car parks, some shopkeepers are calling for a halt to the fees and time limitations while the charges are reviewed. As well as concerns the charges are putting off customers, business owners say they are struggling with the issue of parking for themselves and their staff, who require far more than the four-hour limit now imposed in both the Knapp and Langley Hill car parks. There have also been reports that doctors who work out of King's Langley Surgery in the Knapp are having to move their cars in the middle of clinic hours, and workers at Funeral Directors Tadman's were told to pay 80 pence to park their hearse outside the business while they loaded a coffin ahead of a funeral. There are also regular issues with school coaches unable to get up Langley Hill due to cars parked on both sides of the road, narrowing the space. As King's Langley Village News went to press, Sally Symington, the newly elected leader of Decorum Borough Council, released a statement saying, "I'm grateful to residents, local businesses, town and parish councils and traders associations for the feedback on the charges to the car parking charges across the borough. I've spoken to cabinet colleagues and agreed we will ask for a review of the policies in consultation with local businesses and residents." Jeff Falkins, co-owner of Dalling & Co, said more was needed. "I'm very encouraged that Sally Symington is engaged. She's visited the High Street and is invested in exploring compromises. But whilst there is a promise of a review, we need these rules suspended now for 90 days while this review is being undertaken." Stephen Hunt, director of So Soft Designs, said, "This needs to be an issue that is prioritised for the livelihood of the village now. It's time critical. The longer it goes on, the sooner shops will shut. We haven't got time." To contact Sally Symington on the issue, email sally.symington@decorum.gov.uk.
TB on the rise. Figures from the UK Health Security Agency, UKHSA, have shown a rise in recorded tuberculosis cases across Decorum. The data shows 34 cases of the condition across the borough between 2021 and 2023, an increase from the 23 recorded between 2020 and 2022. Between 2021 and 2023, there were 7.3 cases per 100,000 people in the area, which is slightly below the national average of 8. Nationally, the number of tuberculosis cases rose by 11% in 2023, reaching 4,855, the highest number recorded since 2017. The disease, which spreads through the air when an infected person speaks, coughs, or sings, mainly affects the lungs, can become serious if not treated with antibiotics. Common symptoms of the disease include a cough lasting more than 3 weeks, feeling tired or exhausted, high temperatures or night sweats, a loss of appetite or unexplained weight loss. Clinical lead at the charity Asthma and Lung UK, Dr. Andy Whittemore, said factors including living in poor conditions and smoking increase the likelihood of developing the condition. Tuberculosis is treatable, but people with symptoms need to be able to access healthcare, and marginalised individuals face many barriers when trying to access the services they need, Dr. Whittemore said. Effective implementation of a cross-government public health strategy is vital to address rising tuberculosis rates, but the government must also tackle the root causes of inequality if we are to close the health gap between rich and poor. The UKHSA is working on a 5-year action plan to improve prevention and management of the infection.
Star apprentice. Hemel Hempstead apprentice Daniel Farron has been announced as the Western Regional Rising Star at the JTL Regional Awards 2025. Daniel, who is completing his electrical apprenticeship with JTL and employed by Kingston Electrical Limited, has been recognised for his technical excellence, commitment to learning, and the contribution he has made both on site and in training. JTL's prestigious National Apprenticeship Awards 2025 will take place on Wednesday, 11th of June, at the Royal Armouries Museum in Leeds, crowning national winners and showcasing the incredible achievements of JTL apprentices, tutors, training officers, and employers. The awards celebrate outstanding apprentices in the electrical and plumbing trades. The 2025 ceremony will honour individuals in key categories, including the newly introduced Rising Star of the Year, as well as Electrical Apprentice of the Year and Mechanical Engineering Services Apprentice of the Year, Plumbing, with Daniel representing the West of England in the national final. With over 8,000 learners and partnerships with more than 3,800 businesses, JTL is one of the largest training providers in England and Wales. Daniel said, "I'm incredibly proud to be named a regional winner. It's a fantastic way to celebrate all the hard work that's gone into my apprenticeship so far. I've gained not only valuable skills, but real confidence in the workplace. I'm excited to head to Leeds and represent our region alongside the other finalists." Julian Hobbs, Project Manager at Kingston Electrical Limited, added, "We're delighted to have Daniel as part of our team. Watching his enthusiasm for learning and progression as a professional has been incredibly rewarding."
And finally, Gavin and Stacey Raffle. A rare piece of Gavin and Stacey memorabilia will be available to one lucky winner in a raffle being run by Hemel Hempstead-based homeless charity Dens. A call sheet for the award-winning comedy show's Last Ever Seen, signed by the leading cast and featuring a farewell message from creators James Corden and Ruth Jones, has been donated to Dens by Adrian Scarborough, the charity's inaugural patron who played Pete in the series. The prize, which will be drawn on July 31st, also includes a script of the final episode. Dens helps rebuild the lives of people facing homelessness, poverty, and social exclusion by providing a range of vital integrated services. Scarborough became a supporter when he attended the charity's 20th anniversary gala dinner, Dens, as a guest speaker in early 2024. The actor has had an acclaimed career across the screen and stage, with roles in other shows including Vera Drake, Gosford Park, Miranda, and The Chelsea Detective. Reflecting on his new position at Dens, Scarborough said, "It's a true honour to become the first ever patron of this amazing charity. I've had the privilege of seeing the incredible work they do to support vulnerable people across the community, and their services are needed now more than ever. I'm excited to do whatever I can to help grow their impact." Wendy Lewington, Dens CEO, added, "From the moment Adrian started supporting Dens, we knew he was the perfect champion for our cause. We can't wait to see what the future holds for our exciting partnership, starting with the extraordinary raffle prize he has donated." The charity's raffle, which has so far raised more than £1,100, is open until July 30th, with entries costing £5 each. To be in with a chance of winning and for full terms and conditions, please visit https://bit.ly/dens/gavin/stacey.
We're coming to the end of this week's news. Sunrise and sunset times for this weekend are 0507 and 2051. Don't forget, for those with access to the internet, our news is uploaded to our website soon after the recording each week on Thursday evening. This can be found by visiting dtnhemel.org.uk. If you wish to listen on Alexa, say, "Alexa, open the talking newspaper skill," followed by "Play Decorum Talking Newspaper." For those who are listening to this week's news on the memory stick, the amenities and services information follows after the final music. Please remove the memory stick from the player, return it to us in the pouch provided, and check the pouch is securely sealed. Turn the label over and post it back to us using any Royal Mail postbox. Thank you for listening. Until next time, it's goodbye from all your readers, the editor, and Jake, who is your technician this week.